Amen. Thank you, ladies. Please stand together and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And if you're able to stand, we can stand and stretch a little bit. Matthew chapter 24. Again, we encourage our church family to pray. As the girls were singing, pray that we can get in our new building sooner than later. Okay? We would, we need it for the future, but we really need it also for now. Matthew 24, the title of the message this morning, and it's on the subject of the end of the world, but the title of the subject is Loving the Appearing of the Lord. Yeah. Loving the Appearing of the Lord. I want to show you something maybe you've never thought of this morning. I remember our good friend, Brother Fisher, I was talking to him once, and he said, "Preacher, help your people have a better resurrection. Help your people have a better resurrection." By the way, that, not in a bad way, but that sort of, it's hard to communicate. Because even though we're pilgrims on a journey, it's hard to help people understand we're down here just for a little bit. And one or two things is going to happen. You're going to die and appear before the Lord. Or the rapture is going to take place, and all of us that are true believers are going to appear before the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about having a better resurrection. Look at, by the way, let me just say this, and there is a temptation for pastors, including myself, to just preach and teach only messages that are needs messages. And by the way, we're not against needs messages, because there's needs that need to be met. And they can be met by obeying promises. However, if a church has a diet of just needs messages, we get too attached to the world. In other words, what you do, you precondition your people to not have a better resurrection. And I realize there's so much that can be said about that, but we need to talk about, in God's church, this is His church, we need to talk about eternity every once in a while. We need to talk about death. You know, I mean, look, everybody's going to face it. Okay, and God wants us to look at death in a different way. Okay, most of us, and including myself at times, we don't even like to talk about death. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." He said, "To die is gain." And it would be good if we every once in a while, we just talk about that in the church. We look at the scriptures to see what the Bible says. And so you say, "Oh, well, this is, we're some of us are new Christians." You know what I like about new Christians? Whatever you preach, you're like, "Wow, that's it." It's some of us old-timers, well, you know, it's supposed to be like this. Anyway, Matthew 24. I'm chasing a couple rabbits. Matthew 24, look at verse 42. Of course, Matthew 24 talks about the end of the world, talks about the rapture, talks about many different things about the future. But Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, then we're going to look at several verses this morning I think would be helpful for all of us. Watch, this is Jesus said, "Watch therefore," of course, based on a lot of what He said in the previous 41 verses, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Now, we understand this, if you understand Scripture and you understand history, everything in prophecy that's in the Bible has been fulfilled to have Christ come to the clouds and meet us in the air. And so, Jesus can come back right now. We've already voted as a church, if Jesus comes back, Brother Myers is going to be the pastor. Brother Kyle will be the assistant pastor. And Brother Robert on the front row is going to be the chairman of the deacon board. Okay, figure that one out later. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. In other words, he said, listen, be watchful. Okay, be watchful. Live a life daily as if Christ is coming back today. That's what he's trying to communicate. Watch. Okay? But know this, verse 43, that if the good man, and he gives an illustration here, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. And he's just talking about a thief's going to come to your house. If you knew when he was coming, you would have been watching and would not have suffered his house to be broken up or broken into. Look at verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready. Actually, Warren Wiersbe has a series on Thessalonians. It's called Be Ready. And here's the point this morning. Let's be ready if Jesus came back this afternoon. I remember as a single guy, when I first began to learn about prophecy, we would all say, oh, man. And by the way, when you, as a new Christian, you're a lot more excited about it. Unfortunately, us old-timers, oh, well, you know, prophecy, you know, I know everything. Hal Lindsey and all those, I know all that stuff. But one concern I had was this. Jesus would come back before I got married. That was a bummer. Anybody remember? Do you ever feel like, yeah, how many remember those days? Remember those days? Now, I shouldn't say, now some married guys are saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Just kidding, just kidding. Let's get back to the Bible. Therefore, be ye also ready. I meant married ladies, not married men. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Father, help us to it's a spiritual ideology. It's a paradigm shift to quit holding on to this world, to be a little more, really a lot more heavenly minded. And help us to be a church that is a scriptural church, a church that thinks the way Jesus wants us to think. And one area you admonish us over and over is to watch. Be ready. Help us to be a church that lives that way daily, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to look at several verses in the Bible. By the way, it looks like in Scripture that this little phrase, the appearing of the Lord, may be referring to two events. So when you see, we're going to look at several verses that says the appearing of the Lord. It seems as though in Scripture, when we see the appearing of the Lord, there's two, it could be, or often it is, one of two events. One is the appearing of the Lord when he meets us in the clouds, okay, and we are raptured. And number two, the appearing of the Lord is when we die. Say, what's the appearing of the Lord? We're going to be in his presence. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And you might want to circle this if you there's nothing wrong with writing in your Bible. I encourage it. If you don't want to, that's fine. But if you do, I would encourage you to circle or highlight these words, the appearing or the appearing of the Lord. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. First Peter chapter 1 verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye, by the way, we're in the last time, wherein great you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. By the way, that word Temptations here means testings or trials. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, look at this, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, you say, Pastor, what's the point there? Our trials will help us if we go through them in the right way, will help us at that time when we appear before Jesus. We had a sermon last week on the pillars, and Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 that overcomers will be pillars in the temple of God in heaven. And so our trials today will help our time when we appear, whether it's the rapture or whether it is death. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Go over a couple chapters, please. In verse 1. By the way, these verses here are to pastors. These here in chapter 5. And so these are specifically to pastors, and it looks like it. And I looked up some commentaries, and pretty much I believe that's what sort of everybody sort of agrees. Look at verse 1. The elders or pastors, there's elders, pastors, bishops, those are all three titles for the same person or responsibility. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock. Okay, that's one of the responsibilities of a pastor. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, that's money, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Look at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall, what's that next word, class? Appear. Say it again. So what? Appear. Now, you say, when is that? Well, that's either the rapture or when we die. Okay? And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, look up here. Some, and I believe as I looked at this and I studied it and looked some commentaries, it looks pretty practical. There's actually a special crowns or special rewards for pastors if they're faithful pastors. But he says, when you appear, and by the way, please don't get this wrong. That's why a pastor, you future pastors, okay, you're first and foremost here, whether it's in your assistant pastor here, your missionary someday, your pastor in some other church, your first and foremost responsibility is please Jesus and how you lead the church. Okay? Well, somebody got upset. Listen, if you're a pastor, don't try to get people upset. But you better listen, Demas hath forsaken me, loving this present world. All those in Asia forsook Paul. Okay? We're not trying to be a controversial church, but you remember this. When you preach the Bible, you teach the Bible, and the truth is, the longer I'm a pastor, the more I'm like, ugh, this generation does not like this. The culture we live in does not like this. Look at 1 John chapter 3. So we see that our appearing before the Lord, that rapture or that death, will be better if we pass the test of trials and we pass it well and we don't get mad at God and we have a right spirit towards the Lord. Don't take it out on our husband, our wife, but we pass the test. And then there's actually, for pastors that are faithful, to God's word that will receive crowns. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wow, what a privilege. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. I quit trying to be so friendly with the world. People say, well, people come to church, they don't feel comfortable. Listen, we try to do everything we can to make new visitors lost, if they're lost or if they're saved. We try to make them feel sort of comfortable. But remember this, this book is not comfortable to unsaved people. And what churches are doing now, they're trying to make everybody feel comfortable. And yet they're becoming not a church. Say, who should feel comfortable? Jesus. And then we should honor his word and not compromise. But he said, beloved, verse 2, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, he shall what class?
Appear.
We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now look at verse 3. And every man that hath this hope, what hope? That he's going to appear. The rapture, or we're going to see in 2 Timothy, talks about, and he refers to death in the same. And every man that hath this hope, what hope? Jesus is going to take the church out before the seven-year tribulation, before the wrath of God comes. And every man that has this hope in him, by the way, please look up here. What I'm trying to do is help you to have the hope in you this morning. That's in him. That's why we should meditate on the Bible. The Bible promises blessing in Psalms chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, a blessing to those that meditate. So he doesn't say someone who's casual about this. It's in him. And hopefully in 20 minutes or 25 minutes when we're done, the hope of the appearance of Christ will be in you more. But let's look at here. And every, verse 3, and every man that hath this hope, what hope? The appearing of the Lord, you understand it, in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Look up here just a moment. You know what he's saying? If you understand what's going to happen at death, and if you understand that Jesus could come back anytime, you're going to purify yourself. Now look, how old were you when you started dating your wife, Brother Myers? Huh? Recorded? Oh, we courted. No, he didn't. Okay, now, did you make sure you were pretty clean when she appeared? You combed your hair. He had hair back then. Man, I remember when I first started dating my wife, I made sure my shoes were shined. See that? You say, Pastor, do you have bad breath? Let me just tell everybody. Everybody has bad breath. You understand that? And if you don't think you have bad breath, anyway, I won't say anything. We don't have time to talk about breath this morning. That. Okay, some breath is worse than others, but we all have bad breath. Okay, now we won't go into all that. This isn't not teaching on breath this morning. But when I appeared before my future wife, I cleansed myself. Okay, I purified myself. Okay, tried to make sure my hair was all right and you know, had banaka and you know, okay, yeah, you know, don't. Anyway, and every man that hath this hope, the hope of his appearance, purifieth himself. You see, if we really believe that Jesus may come back tonight, you know what we're going to do? We're going to live a cleaner life. And if you have a TV at home, you're not going to be watching that junky stuff on TV. And if you do have access to internet, you're not going to be putting a bunch of junky stuff on the internet. You say, why? Because I would not want, you know, by the way, if the rapture took place, and maybe you might not understand this, you disappear. You say, what are you going to think about? We don't know all the details, but you just may, it's like What if you're on the internet and you're watching some dirty movie and all of a sudden, and you appear before the Lord? Say, what will you be? Ashamed. Okay. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Who? God. Now look over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'll preach from this portion of Scripture tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is a great portion of Scripture. It's quoted a lot. It's preached about. It's talked about. And look at chapter 4 and verse number 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Paul was ready to die. Okay? I'm now ready to be offered. By the way, that's like an offering to God. And the time of my departure, by the way, this word departure, and I'll talk a little bit more about it. It's like a boat. You know, you got your rope hooked up, I don't know what you call it, the little metal thing, and you're departing into the deep. That's that departure. You're departing from this world. By the way, we sing, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Man, let's get that in our hearts. Amen. We'll live differently. But he said, my departure is at hand. Verse 7, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. Man, that's what I want to do. I want to finish my course for God. And I have kept the faith. Look at verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Okay, he's talking about death. And he said, listen, when I die, there's a crown. By the way, this Paul was he wasn't cocky. Some people are cocky. Paul was just confident. He's like, you know what? I've lived. I know I'm chief of sinners. And he said, but I've lived the life that God gave me. He gave me a goal, and I got on that course. I've finished it. I'm ready to die, and there's going to be some heavenly crowns. Laid up for me is a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, by the way, not angels, not saints, but the Lord, the righteous judge. That's another thing. He's a judge. Okay. I like what Brother Fisher also said two times ago he was here. He said, you know, we look at Jesus as a lamb, okay? But he's also a judge. And he's also a lion, okay? We all like him being a shepherd. Thank God that he's a shepherd, okay? But he says, the judge shall give me at that day. And not to me only. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking to us, about us. But unto all them also that love his what class? Appearing. Let me just share just a couple thoughts. Number one, we are to look forward to and love. Look at that again. Look 2 Timothy chapter. Look at that verse again. What did he say? Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all of them also that love. That what class? Love is appearing. Look up here. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. Do you love his appearing? Yeah. Are you looking forward to dying? Yeah. Are you looking forward? You say, I like it, or I believe it, or I'm for it. But you know what he said? If you say, why? What's the loving is appearing? Loving is appearing means I'm living a life that's honoring and pleasing, and I'm on that course, and I have confidence that if I died today, the Lord would say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the goal. We are to look forward and to love the appearing of the Lord. You say, what is that? Death and the rapture. Paul said that for me to live is Christ, and the guy that die is gain. This only happens as we truly walk with God and do his will. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, seek those things which are above. Number two, thinking about death and what happened. By the way, when I say think about death, we think, oh, you know, the casket. Okay? And that's because we live in a secular world. Okay? Really, it's like the one lady that used to attend our church, and we were having a funeral and a memorial service, and she came, and she was a little different, and she said, where are all the balloons? She says, why are people so sad? And I had to, and she was sort of right, but I said, you know, there's a time for mourning. Okay, there's a time we sorrow differently. Number two, thinking about death and what happens after death is similar to thinking about the appearing of the Lord. We all need to think about that day of death or when we are raptured out of this. I remember Pastor Webb, years ago, he preached a message on Dorcas or Tabitha. He just went through her funeral and how the different people were coming and showing the different things that she made. And the whole message is, how's it going to be at your funeral? I'm like, ooh, I never thought of that. I was like 19. How's it going to be at your funeral? By the way, I've watched, and most of us here, we've watched people die. Let me just say this. Most people aren't ready to die. I'm just telling you, man, they're not. Are you ready to die? I don't know. I'm trying to be ready. And by the way, I'm preaching to myself this morning. I want to get to that place where I'm like, Jesus, come, or if not, I'm just going to do your will until you do come. I've watched different people. I'll never forget. I like what Paul said. He says, I'm ready. You know, and I think if I said that right now, I'll go, I'm sort of saying that because I'm preaching the sermon about it. Jesus said, be ready. See, what he said, be ready for the appearing or the second coming. Paul said, I'm ready to die. They're the same thing. See, what are they? They're just little comments to say, get ready, we're going to see Jesus. I've watched people die. I remember this young guy in our church. He was a teenage boy, and he was in a pond, and he swallowed. He was about 15. His name was Mike. I don't know if you remember him, Brother Myers. He swallowed water in a pond, and he got bacteria in his lungs. And for several years, he would do fine, and then he'd go back to the hospital. Then he'd do fine, and he'd go back to the hospital. I never forget. he was dying. He was going to die that day, I believe. Wow. It was a pretty rough one. I went there to the intensive care unit, and here's this 15-year-old boy, and he's just grasping for air. I'm like, Lord, take this kid. He's just grasping. Watch this kid just die. I remember Gene McCoy, and I'll close with a little quote my son gave us in staff meeting and prayer meeting about a lady. But you know, when you know you're going to die, you just live differently. But let me say this. You know you're going to die, so let's live differently. Let's not wait for the death notice. And Jean McCoy, I remember, we thought she was in a coma. And we talked to her a little bit, and she was a real nice black lady, lived over, she was in our church, lived over the bridge on Seabright or one of those streets. And I went there, and she was dying of cancer. And her eyes were a little bit open, but I don't think she saw us. And we began to talk to her, and then I opened up the Bible, and I began to read scriptures, and she began to moan. I'm like, man, it's almost like these words are powerful. It's almost like she's saying, amen, preacher. Preach it. Because right now, that's the only. We talked to her. She just, no response. And then when I begin to read the Bible, it's almost like she was trying to say something. Watch my mom die. We didn't watch, but we saw a little bit. Brother Kyle and myself, we went, saw Al Prez. And they weren't his last words, but we just, you know, I think he was a man that was like Paul that said, I'm ready. I think he could say, life is a vapor. Let's get ready for death. Okay, I know this is, this is morbid. It's really not. What's morbid is, you know, we've watched too many spooky movies. Ooh, he's a zombie. No, all that is, this body is a shell. And this shell holds the spirit and the soul that'll live forever. And someday we're going to be out of here. Let's quit living like we're going to be down here for millenniums. We'll be down here reigning with Christ, but this body will not be down. We're all going to die. Let's think about it. Let's face it. But let's not face it in a morbid way. Let's face it. Let's be like Paul. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I don't like that. That's in the Bible. That's how God wants us to think every day. Mom and dad, rear your children for Christ. Oh, well, you know, I want them to get a good living and make good money, and I want them to have. Listen, by the time they get everything you want them to have, they're ready to die, and they wasted their life. Nothing wrong with taking care of yourself, but listen, we've got too many people living too much for this earth. And by the way, moms and dads, teach them and train them when they're little ones. Don't wait. Listen, I'm all for playing. I play with my children. But our kids play too much. Man, I had my boys here this week. My wife was, it's so much easier. I remember the days when they were all small. How you doing, Brother Kyle? Are you doing all right? Did you ditch your kids off on somebody else? Or was it you and your dad? You took care of them yourself? How you feeling? How's your blood pressure? Better, okay. But, But now my children, they're all, my youngest is 10, and then Ben is 12, and then Daniel's 17, and then the rest of them are adults in my house. But my kids are just like you. They hear everything. Let me tell you this, and I know you say, Pastor, you say this every third message. Our kids are playing too many video games. It's a waste of time. I said it's a waste of time. They're playing. I believe in playing. But they're given to play. That's all they're doing. And I'm not saying everybody, but I'll tell you what. I don't have a pulse of everything, but it seems to me I could be wrong. You say, well, how do you know this, Pastor? Because that's what my kids want to do. They want to watch a movie, and even good movies. Okay? And Nathaniel, he's hyperactive. He's nonstop. He asks questions. Good, bad, ugly, always, can we do this? His favorite verse in the Bible is, you know, you have not because you ask not. And he asks for everything. And he just believes in that verse. And, but we were home and they want to watch, you know, Andy Griffith. I'm not against Andy Griffith. If Barney's not there, I don't like it. Barney's my favorite. They got some other guy. I can't remember who that took Barney's place. I don't watch that one. But we're not going to spend hours watching Andy Griffith. I said, guys, you're going to read some books. By the way, please understand this. You say, what are your children? Your children are what you and I have trained them to be. Or by the absence of our training, they are. Okay? I thought the church was supposed to do that. No. We're helping you do what you're supposed to do. All we're trying to do is we're trying to reinforce what you're doing at home. I got my son Ben. I said, son, what was that? The great pastor in Canada, Oswald Smith. That's great missions pastor. I said, son, read. It was a book about 100 pages. I said, read this book. My son, he's 12. He sat there for a long time and read the book. I said, give me an oral report. Wow. He had notes. I was under conviction. He said, Dad, what's fiction? Is fiction? He said, which one's true, fiction or nonfiction? We all get that. I said, fiction's not true, nonfiction's true. And he said, okay, there was a little fiction introduction. Explained it about how the demons might be, you know, the book of Daniel talks about the spiritual hierarchy in different parts of the world. And he read that. And he went through the whole, I'm like, wow, I need to get on the ball and having a bigger heart for missions. But my son, you said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, We're wasting too much time. Let's develop spiritual children. Number three, there's a reward for those that love his appearing. Those who truly are ready. That's what Paul said. He said, I'm ready. There's a crown of righteousness. He said, but not to me only, but to all those not that want his appearing or desires appearing or believe in his appearing or adhere to his appearing, but love his appearing. Those who are truly ready or really look forward to his appearing. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me that day, not to me only, but to unto all. That includes us, them that love is appearing. Years ago, I got a call from the college I went to, Howells Emerson College, and they said, Dr. Howells wants to give you an honorary doctor's degree. They said, an honorary doctor's degree, this is what they say, is more important than an earned doctor's degree because you're doing what you learned. Some people learn but never do anything. I didn't say that. That's what they told me. I said, okay. And I'm like, wow, never thought about being a doctor. I never thought about being a nurse. So, wow, I'm going to be a doctor. But I got to thinking, wow, I'm sort of scared. I was scared but excited. I'm like, they're going to go and in front of that huge church and honor me with a doctor's degree. And they said, we want your wife to come. Like, ooh. By the way, my mom flew out there for that. And I was excited and nervous at the same time. And they gave us a real nice hotel, nice fruit basket. My children didn't come, but they gave gifts for all my children for us to bring home. They gave me a nice new Bible. They said, we're going to take you out and buy you a brand new suit. I'm going, ooh, this is pretty good. I didn't know. I thought I was just getting a doctor's degree. And then they were going to have one of the ladies take your wife out. Someone, I can't remember who it was. This one man took me to this real nice suit place, like, get any suit you want. I didn't go to the $99 section. He said, what section did you go to? I went to the $2,000 section. Just kidding. Okay, they said, any suit you want. I'm like, no kidding. They brought my wife and got me a brand new suit, new Bible, new my wife, new dress and everything. And wow, I got to thinking. I think when we, by the way, it was, first of all, just getting the honorary doctor's degree was nice. Like, man, I don't deserve that. They just don't know what's going on here. Okay? But here's the thought. When I got there, they certainly honored me a lot more than I deserved and I thought. And I really think when we appear before God, if we live faithfully, you're going to be a happy camper.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Now, I'll tell you this. there was that was one appearing that was very encouraging to me. There was another appearing. I have an aunt. She used to go to our church. When my mom died, she moved away with my sister, my brother-in-law, and so they live a little further. So she goes to another church. But my aunt Annie, some of you know who my aunt, not my sister Annie, my aunt Annie. Every year she lived in Chicago. She was an executive secretary of Inland Steel, and I won't give all details, but she was pretty well to do. And every year she'd come out during Christmas, and she never married. She never married. And she would come, and my mom had five kids, and then the family broke up. But my aunt was all of our favorite. You're not supposed to say she's your favorite aunt in front of all the other aunts. We just said it when all the other aunts weren't around. She'd come, and she would come, and she was so sweet and nice, and as little children, she would bring us Christmas. It was like Aunt Santa Claus. I mean, she would buy us gifts, and she would just, and really, I think she bought us more gifts than our parents bought us. And I never forget, I was in fifth grade, and we came out here when I was in first grade from Chicago. So she came, if I remember, every year. I mean, it was like the highlight of the year, the appearing of Aunt Annie. That year, just before she came, I was in fifth grade. I got in trouble. I am not going to tell you what I did, but it wasn't good. And here's all I thought. I hope they don't tell Aunt Annie. You say, why? Because Aunt Annie's Aunt Annie. And she comes here every year, and she just gives us all these nice things, and she loves us. And I didn't come up to my mom and say, please don't tell Aunt Annie. But Aunt Annie's appearing. It was just killed me to think if she had found out. Now, let me say this. Jesus knows everything. We appear, but now, aren't you glad that all our sins are forgiven, and he's not keeping count of our sins? Let me say lastly is this. Meditating on Christ's appearing and death, which is really Christ's appearing, will change the way we live. We love his appearing, or those that do love his appearing, because we have confidence that God has given us the grace to live a life that will cause our God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let me say that again. We love his appearing. Who loves his appearing? We love his appearing. We think about his appearing, and we look forward to it, whether it's death or the rapture, because we have confidence that God has given us the grace to live a life that will cause our God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. My son got this from, what's a book called? The Big Eternity, Money, Possessions, and Eternity, a book, and he read it in our staff meeting and prayer meeting last night, but I'll read it. There was a lady that was given a very short time to live. They said, you're going to live, I don't remember, I don't even know if he said, I don't know, 6 months, a year. And she said this. This was what she said. By the way, you know, we can't play God, but it'd probably be good for, anyway, I'm not going to do that. She said this. She said the most striking thing when she was informed that she was going to die that happened is this, quote, I find myself totally uninterested in all the conversations about material things. Things that used to matter to me, but now I find my thoughts are never on possessions, but always on Christ and people. Because that's what's important. I count it a privilege. This lady that knows she's going to die, she said this. I count it a privilege that I can live each day knowing I will die soon. What a difference it makes. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed, and let's stand together.